Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who has the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that as we go to your word right now, you fill us with hope and you fill us with worship and you fill us, Lord, specifically with Christmas hope today because of what you've done for us. Lord, we can rejoice and be filled with faith today. I pray that that's the case in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, church family, we are here the last Sunday before Christmas, and what we're going for today in God's Word is Christmas hope. So right away, I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 8 and go from 11 to 14. Then we're going to jump to verse 19, and then we're going to go to that famous Christmas verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. So start with me at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. This is what it says. It says, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary, and a stone of offense, and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Go down to verse 19 now. It says, "And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living?" I'll go to chapter 9, verse 2, says this. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." That's that famous Christmas prophecy pointing to the birth of Jesus Christ. From this passage of scripture, I'm praying that we can lift our eyes off of the circumstances in this world and place them firmly on the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is where we're going to start. Christmas hope, it's what we're going for. So let us together now, here's point number one, turn from fear towards faith. That's what we're going for today, and that's where we'll find hope. We want to turn from fear towards faith. I want you to notice Isaiah chapter 8, again, verse 11 says this, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me," listen, "and warned me not to walk in the way of this people." There's a warning coming to the prophet Isaiah before he announces some words on behalf of God and the prophetic words announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get to those famous Christmas words in Isaiah chapter 9, I feel like it's so important for us to rehearse a bit of what's happening in Isaiah chapter 8 so we get the thrust and the meaning and the significance of those Christmas words in Isaiah chapter 9. So here in Isaiah chapter 8, we have some of the historical context surrounding the famous Christmas passage of Isaiah chapter 9. What's happening? Well, God has commissioned the prophet Isaiah to speak to the people of Israel. You need to understand this. They were massively fearful. The people of Israel were. They were living in a time of spiritual and political and moral turmoil. You need to understand this context as we get to those Christmas words. The people of Israel were fearful and they were divided. The nation was split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The people of Israel were fearful and they were threatened. They were threats to one another. The two kingdoms were at war with each other often, but they were also threatened by other, much more stronger kingdoms. And so they were divided and they were threatened. The people of Israel were fearful and they were also ravaged. They were a ravaged people. At the time of Isaiah's prophecy, the Syrian army had almost entirely destroyed Judah, the southern kingdom. And so what you have to understand from this context is the people were in a dark place at the time of this prophecy. And God sends the prophet Isaiah with a warning for his own soul as he approaches them. Be careful, Isaiah. Don't fear the things that they're fearing. Don't be consumed with the things that they are being consumed with. Notice it now in verse 12. Look at it. It says, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. I feel like these words could be spoken to us here in our context today. God calls Isaiah to be steady and unwavering in what he believes and who he is believing it from, because these people, the people of Israel, these divided people, these threatened people, these ravaged people, these fearful people, these people have become consumed in unhelpful and untrue conspiracies and ideas about their situation and about their own God. Now, let me just stop right here for a moment to say this. Something happens in our hearts very quickly when we find ourselves in trouble, if our trust is misplaced. Well, what happens in our hearts? Well, our propensity to fear is intensified if our trust is misplaced, and our willingness to entertain ridiculous ideas and conspiracies, that grows. That embracing of strange ideas grows if our trust is misplaced and we become a people who are consumed with the things that we see on this earth rather than with what we know about God. This is what was happening here in this context. God says to Isaiah, instead of being consumed with what they're being consumed with, instead of fearing what they fear, he says this, no, have faith and fear me. I want you to notice it in verses 13 to 14. It says, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Did you see that? And let him be your dread. Watch this now, verse 14. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, the ESV Study Bible has a helpful note here that I want to share with you. It says this, God deeply impressed upon Isaiah a surprising message. The holy God, who is a sanctuary for frightened human beings, is also the snare to those who do not fear him. You see that? Judah and Jerusalem, wringing their hands over, listen, surface level crises. Oh, how I feel like this is relevant for us today. With little awareness of the grandeur of God. By disregarding God, they find him to be an obstacle they cannot evade. Now, this is the context of the famous Christmas words in Isaiah chapter 9. And their situation, I want to suggest to you, is much like our situation, or our situation is much like their situation. Nothing much has changed. This Christmas, our world is particularly laden with fear. Yeah, this Christmas, our world is particularly laden with conspiracy theories and listen, a total disregard for God. If there was ever a time where we needed to turn to God, if there was ever a Christmas where we needed to press into the true meaning of Christmas, it would be now. But there is widespread disregard for God. This was true in the time of Isaiah's prophecy, and it is true in our time today. But for all who would honor the Lord as holy, the text says, for all who would fear him, he would be for us a sanctuary. So here's my question for you as you consider this concept of turning from fear towards faith. What are you believing these days that are not actually true when you think about it? But you're meditating on it. You're consumed with it. Or what conspiracy theory? There's a lot out there, aren't there? These days there are a lot out there. What conspiracy theory or ridiculous idea are you meditating on that you can't possibly know to be true? Can you think of it? Or what are you afraid of today? I know there's a lot of fear these days. I want you to name it, and I want you to turn from it. Christmas hope. We're going to turn from fear towards faith. Fear God, not the circumstances that we find ourselves in, because God, as he was doing in the time of Isaiah's prophecy, continues to weave together a marvelous purpose in the midst of turmoil. That's what he does. That's what he was doing in Isaiah's time. And that's what he's doing today. Christmas hope is on the way for all who would turn from fear towards faith. Let it be so, Lord. Christmas hope, let's turn from fear towards faith. Second thing I want you to see is this. Christmas hope, let's turn from idols to God. Let's turn from idols to God. Notice Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living?" Now here's a biblical challenge that will guarantee Christmas hope for us today. Inquire of the Lord. Look to the Lord. Seek God. Be more prayerful than you've ever been before. Seek his face. Devote yourself to him. And identify and cast down the sources of knowledge that you have been depending on in place of God. This is the exhortation, and this was what was happening, what was needed in Isaiah's time. The people were inquiring of mediums instead of God. The people were inquiring of sorcerers and magicians instead of God. They had abandoned the inquiry of the Lord. We need to turn as they needed to turn from these idols. Turn to God. That's the biblical challenge. Now, some of you have been in the faith for so long, but could it be you're embracing some kind of idol, some source of knowledge, some source of information that you're running to every day these days, but you're not running to God? If we want Christmas hope today, loved ones, turn from idols to God. Tim Keller wrote this in his book, Hidden Christmas. I want to share it with you. He wrote this. It is the end of Isaiah chapter 8, however, that explains why we need light from God. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the light. In verses 19 to 20, we see people consulting mediums and magicians instead of God. Then the chapter ends this way. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. They will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Keller says, what's going on here? They're looking toward the earth and to human resources to fix the world. Oh, loved ones, nothing has changed, has it? Nothing has changed. So often, if we look at our hearts, we are looking toward the earth for answers to fix the world. And like Old Testament Israel, we too look to human resources to fix the world. Don't we? Don't we? Are you doing that? Loved ones, listen, what would happen in our lives? Just think about this. What would happen in our church? What would happen in our families if we exchanged our hours of scrolling through social media with inquiring of the Lord in the Word of God and prayer? What would happen? What do you think would happen if we exchanged our hours of the intake of the media for seeking God? Well, I believe we'd have Christmas hope. I believe we'd have so much hope. What do you think would happen to our families if we spent the weeks leading up to Christmas captivating our children's hearts with the beautiful realities of Advent instead of sitting in front of the TV or sitting in front of our social media feeds, taking in information that has become idolatry. What do you think would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. Christmas hope would fill our children. Christmas hope would fill our families, loved ones. How would Christmas be different? Let me say it this way. How would this Christmas be different? Christmas 2020, if we truly sought the Lord Jesus Christ and saw him as the main event of this season, what would happen? Christmas hope would happen. What would happen if we sought him not as a supplement to trees and gifts and gatherings and food? What would happen if we saw him and embraced him as the only, most precious, beautiful reason we celebrate? Oh, loved ones, let us see our idols this Christmas, right now. Let us cast them down and let us look to God. Oh, loved ones, could it be that given all the restrictions and challenges and inconveniences that are upon us in 2020, could it be that God is setting us up for this? For what? For what? To look to him and him alone. Could he actually be accomplishing something good in all the mess? Well, I look at Isaiah chapter 8 and I see the mess of the divided kingdom of Israel and I see, wow, God was weaving together a purpose in the mess. And he's doing the same for us. Christmas hope, turn from fear to faith. Oh, I pray we're doing that. Turn from idols to God. Finally, this Christmas hope, let us turn now from darkness to light. Here's the Christmas verse that we all know. Look now at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Now here we have the prophetic announcement concerning the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah moves from the tragic and dark present towards a hope-filled and bright future. I want you to see at least three things, and we're getting ready to close here. First, I want you to see this Christmas the brilliance of God's word, that hundreds of years before the arrival of Jesus Christ, Isaiah predicted his coming. Just stop and consider the brilliance of God's word. Love it, embrace it, eat it, meditate on it this Christmas. It is brilliant. Second thing I want you to see is this. I want you to see the beauty of God's sovereignty, that in the midst of thick darkness, God was not taken by surprise in Isaiah chapter 8. No, that even when all hope seemed lost, God is always working to accomplish a good purpose. Third thing I want you to see, that all of this means something for us today in 2020, this Christmas. Not only do we see God providentially bringing forward a Savior in the midst of a mess in unfolding history, but we see that it is precisely through this Savior that we have hope for the messes we face in our moments of unfolding history. That is awesome that we find ourselves in a bit of a mess in 2020, don't we? We find ourselves facing some hard circumstances in 2020, don't we? We find ourselves fearful and in turmoil in many different ways. And here's what I want you to see. This means something for us. That not only was God weaving together a beautiful purpose in Isaiah's time all the way to when Christ would come to Bethlehem, he's doing the same now, and it is through this Savior that we find all the hope we need to get through the times that we are facing. Loved ones, in the time of Isaiah's prophecy, the world was dark. And in the time of the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, the world was dark. And here in 2020, loved ones, the world is dark. And the darkness we lament, it manifests itself in so many ways, doesn't it? Viruses, social injustices, extreme poverty, child abuse, human trafficking. The list can go on, but ultimately the darkness is the condition of the heart that leads to eternal death. This is the reason we celebrate Christmas so passionately. In the midst of our mess, in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of the ultimate manifestation of darkness, eternal death because of sin, Jesus came to shine, text says, a great light. A light that would give us hope, a light that would give us peace, a light that would assure us if we would be found in this Jesus, we would be safe. It's not a political light. It's not an economic or financial light. It's not a healthcare light. No, it's a spiritual light, a light that will one day make all things right. My friend Julian posted on social media this week the following, and I loved it. He wrote, "We should stop saying we can't wait for 2020 to be over." He says, "The calendar can't help us. We don't need a new year." He said, "We need a new world." And I saw that and I said, amen. We don't need a new year. We need a new world. And guess what? The light of Jesus Christ shone in a dark, broken, messed up world so that one day there would be a new world, so that we who would put our faith in him, actually we in our own hearts could be made new. This is what Jesus came to do. He wants to make us new. And so my question for you as I close is this. Do you need to be made new? Do you need light to shine in your darkness? Is your heart darkened today by sin? Fear not. Cast down your idol. Look to God, and you will move from darkness to light. He will do that for us today. And I pray this Christmas season is a season filled with light and clarity and direction, all found in the light of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this Christmas is a Christmas filled with hope. Not hope because superficial circumstances have been resolved, but hope because ultimately our deepest problem has been solved. The light of the world has come to resolve the darkness of my heart. And now I can be saved. Oh, Lord, let us find hope in this and joy in this and peace in the name of Jesus. And oh, how I pray for our church right now that this Christmas would be different. Bless your church. Strengthen your church. Fill your church with faith and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.